Folks, and turn with us to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. That'll be the first scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to begin this week on a new study. We spent, I don't know really how long, I think most of the past year, maybe not quite all of it, on the life of Moses and the trip through the out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land. And so we're going to begin a new study this morning, and I'm going to do some teaching on prophecy. We're just going to look at some things and take our time and look at some things that I think will be helpful for us. And this morning, we're just going to simply look at the subject of why we should study prophecy. There's a reason for it. God has a wonderful reason for it for us in our life. And we need to look at that and see why we ought to take time to study prophecy. I might share with you, there's just all kinds of things happening in the world. I think everybody knows that and recognizes it and is excited about it. We live in a day where there's just events happening on a daily basis, seems like. this week, Europe made some plans and some decisions toward uniting Europe. You know, 92 is the year that it is supposed to be united, and certainly that points to the end kingdom, the revived Roman kingdom, and it's exciting what God is doing and how it's moving and taking shape, and it's just, to me, it's exciting time we live in. I love the time we live in. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And so all kinds of things are happening. I read in the paper this week, you may have read it, about the ozone. You've heard about it sometime, but they say now there may be a developed within the next month a hole in the ozone layer, you know. And I was thinking back in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, and during the pouring out of the vials, and how that God said the sun is going to scorch men's backs. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, we could all be tied together. Now, I'm not trying to put everything in place and saying this is what's going to happen, but there's no doubt about this. The Bible says that the sun is going to scorch men's backs, and it's exactly going to happen that way. And I was thinking about the ozone here. It said the scientists warned Monday that conditions are ripe for development of a hole in the protective ozone layer over the northern hemisphere this month, not just by the end of the decade as had been predicted. Said chances are now greater for significant ozone loss over highly populated regions in North America, Europe, and Asia. Says the ozone layer, one of the Earth's basic life support systems, blocks most of the sun's ultraviolet B radiation, which can cause skin cancers and cataracts and weaken the immune systems in humans and damage crops and vegetables. He says over here, in the short term, health specialists advise people to protect themselves and especially children with sunscreen and clothing and to avoid exposure to the sun. I thought, you know what? God has his way. People want to go out and undress on the beaches of America and their nakedness and get out in the sun and sunbathe and all that stuff. God has a way of taking care of some things. Amen. God just has his way. So I just say to you, there's a lot of things happening. We want to try to cover some of those here in the next quite a few weeks and try to help us. But this morning, I want to look at the subject of why study prophecy. And of course, I don't know about you, but all these things that are happening are causing God's children. I know he's causing this child of God to expect the return of the Lord Jesus Christ very soon. I get excited when I think about it. I expect him to come. I don't know how you feel about it, but I look for him every single day of my life. I look for Jesus to come. I expect him to come. In the morning, I get up, and somewhere along in the morning, I talk to the Lord about possibility of his coming today. I want to live in such a way that would be pleasing to him, because this may be the day he comes. And I say to you, it's exciting. So the study of prophecy is very important. One man had done a study of the Bible, and he said 1/4 of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. 1/4 of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. Much of that has been fulfilled. and certainly just as God said it would. And so God has devoted a lot of his word to the study of prophecy. And so I think it's good that we do the same thing. Now, there are some dangers in studying prophecy. And I want to, first of all, pinpoint one of those, and that's where we're at in Acts, the 17th chapter, 15th verse. It says, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him, with all speed they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." We preached a sermon here some time back. I can't remember when it was, but on when it says that Paul's heart was stirred within him. We looked up that word stir and found out it was just not, he was just stirred up. I mean, Paul become angry at the idolatry around him in that city. And I say to you, I think we ought to be angry at what's going on in America, all around us. I think we ought to be angry. It says, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine wherein thou, whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new." Now, I brought out that portion of Scripture simply to say that man's heart, it has a nature sometimes to just want to find out new things, has a desire just to look at new things, find out what's going to happen in the future. And I think there's a danger in studying prophecy, and I've seen this sometimes in people's lives, where that they just want to study prophecy for the sake of just trying to know these things that's coming, something new, and yet has no effect upon them or their life or their heart. And God never intended prophecy to be such. Prophecy has a purpose to fulfill in our life. And we're going to try to look at that today and find out what that is. But it's just not so that we might be curious of what's going to happen. That's not why God gave us prophecy. So it's kind of a danger sometimes. Another thing is that sometimes prophecy becomes the test of fellowship with other brethren. If a brother doesn't agree with the day that Jesus Christ is coming with us, sometimes we have a tendency to look at that brother and call him a heretic. And let me say to you, the Scriptures are very plain when it comes down to the very doctrines of the Word of God. The major doctrines, the virgin birth and the blessed doctrines of God's Word, the resurrection and his death on the cross and the blood atonement and all those things are major, major doctrines. When you get into prophecy and you begin to try to pinpoint your idea of when Jesus Christ is coming and all those things, we just better be careful, because you know what? There's none of us know, because God has not given us that day. And so we have to be very, very careful. The real test of fellowship is Christ and his person and his work. What do people think about Jesus Christ? Who is he? That's the test of fellowship. I don't want any fellowship with someone who doesn't believe that Jesus is God. I don't want any fellowship with someone who doesn't believe in the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. Because those are major doctrines, and there's no fellowship to have between them. And so I'm saying to you, we just got to be awful careful. There's a fellow here a while back, and in fact I've heard him preach quite a few times. And he's a good preacher, and in fact just studied the Word of God tremendously and gave forth messages that just thrill your heart. And he's changed his stance on the pre-trib return of Christ to the mid-trib return. But I say to you, folks, I don't agree with him. He's wrong. There's no doubt about it. He's wrong. But let me say to you, he still believes Christ is the Son of God and who died for us. And I wouldn't have him come and preach that in our pulpit, but I certainly will respect him as a man of God and love him as a man of God. We've got to be very, very careful that because folk don't just agree with us with every point on some of the prophecies that's in the Bible, that we look at them as heretics. That's wrong. We don't have a right to do that, okay? But there's dangers there. And so some study prophecy so intently that they miss the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Folks, listen, when you read your Bible, look for Jesus. All throughout the Word of God, look for Jesus Christ. And look what God's trying to teach you about Jesus. You see, that's what's important. That's what we need to hear about. Old Testament, when you open your Bible, look for Jesus, because He's there. Okay? The Lord Jesus is there. So don't forget that. Sometimes folk in studying a prophecy, they get more concerned who the Antichrist is and what his name is and what color of hair he has and how he combs it than they do about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to be awful careful about that, getting all caught up in them kind of things. Nothing wrong with being curious on these things and thinking about these things, but you want to be very careful you don't get all caught up in those things and miss the whole purpose of the Bible, the Word of God, and miss the purpose of prophecy, because prophecy has, as I said, a wonderful purpose for us. Now, you see, if we will remember something, it might help us. The Spirit's work, the Holy Spirit's work in us is to reveal Christ, not the Antichrist. Amen? You see, the Spirit of God is to reveal to us Jesus. He'll teach us about Jesus. He'll teach us truths about Jesus. Now, if there's truths in the Bible about the Antichrist, it's good for us to know them, good for us to learn them. But He's not here to reveal and uplift Antichrist. He's here to uplift Jesus, the Son of God. And so we need to kind of remember that and not forget that, you see. I think everybody has a desire to know a little bit about the future, and I think that's why God put prophecy in His book. I think He knew that we would want to know that, and I think it's important for us to. In fact, that's why fortune tellers and astrologers do a thriving business. Because people want to know the future. I've known people who just spent money, I mean lots of money, on fortune tellers to try to find out what was going to happen, you see. And I mean lots of money they've spent on this foolishness. Let me say to you, please, please, don't put your money out for fortune tellers. Don't put your money out for astrologers. Don't read the horoscopes in the paper. That's nothing but of the devil. Them and are from God. Has nothing to do with God whatsoever. You want to read something to tell you about your future, read the Bible. It'll tell you about those things. And in fact, it's the only one that really can. In fact, if you'll turn with me just for a moment, keep your place there, but go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. Let me just read you a few verses. Verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, God said to Israel, when you come into the land that I promised, that I've given to you, don't do the abominations that they do. Now, He's going to tell us some of those abominations. He said, there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. And, of course, they did that. And in those nations, they took even their sons and their daughters and offered them as sacrifice to Molech and threw them into the fire and killed them as an offering up to a false god. What a terrible thing. But they did that. And he says, or that useth divinations, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. The divinations there speaks of foreseeing or fortune-telling. And God is saying, don't be a part of that. Don't have anything to do with that whatsoever. And he says, enchanter, that simply speaks of those who would charm, or a magician, work as a magician. So God is saying, don't have anything to do with those kind of things. Stay away from them. And he says, or a witch. Stay away from those kind of things, God says. Don't let it be said about you that you'd have those. And he says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a numicromancer. And that simply means to communicate with the dead. Don't be a part of those kind of things where they have these seances, you know, and they try to communicate with the dead. No doubt there may be some communication there, but it isn't God's communication. It's the devil's communication. You understand? God says don't be a part of that. Don't have anything to do with that whatsoever. He said, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Did you hear that? The word abomination is the strongest word used in the Bible. When God hates something, He despises something, He uses the word abomination. It means to hate it of God. God hates those kind of things, he says. And he says, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times, and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And God makes it very plain in his word that we are absolutely not to be a part of that. Okay? Now listen, prophecy was not written to satisfy somebody's curiosity. Okay, that's not what it's for. Many times that's what we use it for. We say, oh boy, somebody's going to preach on prophecy. Boy, that's wonderful. I want to know what's going to happen in the future. Listen, that's not God's major purpose for having prophecy. I want to show you in the Bible, the Word of God, why God wants us to preach on and teach on prophecy. First of all, prophecy proves the authority of the Bible. When we see the Word of God fulfilled, We see what God wrote down, and it absolutely come to pass just like that. He gives the Word of God authority in our minds. It doesn't need any authority. It's God's Word. But in our hearts and minds, it gives us that the Word of God has full authority. Whatever God says is absolutely true. Now, when you get into the foundational books of cults and false religions, you'll find out they don't have much to say about the future. Not their foundational books don't. They'll tell you about the past and the present, but they don't have much to say about the future because they don't know. They know if they write too much about the future, they're going to be found out to be false real quick. Amen? But that's not true with God's Word, you see, because God's Word, the test of true prophecy is always the fulfillment of it. If a prophet says something and it is not fulfilled, that shows that he is not a true prophet. Okay? Now, back in Deuteronomy again. Should have had you stay back there. But Deuteronomy, same chapter. 20th verse. It says, for the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou sayest in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. You see, we don't have to worry about the Bible because it's fulfilled. Not only does God give us much prophecy, but it's fulfilled. God fulfills it, you see. We know it is the Word of God because those things that God said would happen absolutely come to pass. Isn't that wonderful? So you know the Word of God is true, you see. You know, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born, the Old Testament told us some wonderful things. I don't have time today to give you all of them, but he told us some wonderful, wonderful things about his birth. First of all, he told us in Daniel, the 9th chapter, about the time of his birth. Around the time it would be. Also told us in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, he told us the fact of the virgin birth, that it would be a virgin birth. Told us in Micah, 5th chapter, he told us the place of his birth. Absolutely, where he'd be born, in Bethlehem. We find in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53, it gives us details of his life and also of his death. And then we find the fact of his resurrection back in Psalms, the 16th Psalm. So you see, God has written these things hundreds of years before all of these things come to pass. And so we just need to understand, folks, that prophecy in God's Word is true because God wrote it and it's absolutely true. Amen? The only place you're going to find truth about the future is in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you. I'm not saying that you had any problem with that. I'm not saying that you did. But listen, stay away from those kind of seances and those kind of things. And don't let your kids get involved with those tarot cards and all of those things like that. Don't let them bring a Ouija board home. No. Don't do those things. Don't bring those things in your home. You know, turn them to their hearts to Jesus and say, we're going to trust Jesus. We're going to read the Bible. And he'll tell us what we need to know about the future. And there's plenty there that he tells us about. We've got a whole life to learn a whole bunch of stuff about what God has to say, you see. And them's the things that we need to know. So we find that prophecy proves the authority of the Bible. Not only that, prophecy reveals the purpose of God to us. I want to go back and just read a portion of scripture back in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter of Genesis. Verse number 16, the 18th chapter. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now God gave Abraham, told him what he was going to do concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe one of the reasons that he told him this was simply so that Abraham would understand the plan of God, the purpose of God in all of this. So that all at once something like that terrible happened, Abraham wouldn't stand back and say, Why did God do that? Why did God do this? Why did he destroy all those people? No, God gave him ahead of time knowledge of what he was going to do, the purpose of God, and I believe the same thing is true for you and I. God gives us the Word of God, and as we look down the road, we see a lot of these things going on that's happening in the world. We see those things, and we can look back and say, well, that's what God said. That's what he said in his Word, and our hearts can be encouraged by that. He tells us. He doesn't give us every detail. But he gives us his overall plan of what he's going to do. And I'm glad of that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he does that. So I can just understand a little bit of the plan of God, knowing what God is going to do, so that when I see certain things come to pass, I can get excited about it and thankful for it and say, yeah, that's in his Word. That's what God's doing. So we're not thrown by all the tragedies and all the things that's coming to pass. All right. Now also, I believe prophecy brings peace to the believer. I want you to turn over to John, the 14th chapter of John. First verse simply says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. That's chapter 14 of John. Now, Jesus, if you understand the scriptures and you'll go back to chapter 13 and, of course, chapter 14, Jesus is doing his best to prepare his disciples for his death and for his leaving them. And he, in chapter 13, explains a lot of things to them. Look at verse number 33. He says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And I'm talking about in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. And on down in verse number 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And if you will follow chapter 13 and in through chapter 14, you'll find that Jesus is spending much time getting his disciples prepared for his death and for his resurrection and for his ascension into heaven to leave them. Listen, they had depended on him. They had walked with him. They had given their lives up to walk with Jesus Christ. And all at once he now was going to be gone. What was they going to do? So our Lord was preparing them. And so in chapter 14 in verse 1, he says to them, Let not your heart be troubled. He didn't want their hearts to be troubled. He said, You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he began to give them some prophecy of what was going to happen. He said, Now look, here's what's going to happen. He says, In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I want you to know in my Father's house there's plenty of mansions for everyone. And I want you to know that. That's prophecy. How often have we been encouraged and comforted by the fact that in the Father's house there's mansions? Haven't you been comforted with that? Haven't you thought about that from time to time and think, well, one of these days I'm going to have a mansion? Amen? It may not be everything that we sometimes associate with a mansion, but I want to tell you, it's going to be wonderful. And God is saying to us, hey, there's plenty of them. There's many of them. And so he's telling them, don't worry, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. He even tells them why he is leaving. One of the reasons why he is leaving is that he's going to prepare a place for them. Now, isn't that encouraging? Doesn't that bring peace to God's people? He says, now look, boy, Jesus is there preparing a place for us. I've heard preachers preach and people say, oh, it's been 2,000 years. Can you imagine the place he's prepared for us? Huh? And you know, so we get excited about the fact. And Jesus was giving prophecy right here, telling the future what he was going to do. Why? To encourage the heart of the disciples. And let me say to you, prophecy encourages the hearts of God's people. Look also there in verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You see, prophecy. Jesus says, now look, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going, yes, I'm going to leave. I'm going to prepare mansions for you. There's mansions in my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But he says, I'm going to come again. Prophecy. I'm not going to leave you down here forever. I'm going to come again. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that encourage your heart that Jesus is coming again? Oh, that thrills my heart. And he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He doesn't leave it saying, I'm just going to come. No, he said, I'm going to come get you. Amen. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am not going to forget you. Boy, that's wonderful. And in prophecy of the Word of God, there is to design to comfort the hearts of God's people. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. He said, just remember what I'm going to do. And then, he goes on down and explains the way of salvation. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What wonderful, wonderful truths. Well, those are designed to comfort us and help us, you see. And so prophecy, as you read the Word of God, prophecy ought to encourage your heart. Listen, we live in a dark world. We live in a wicked, dark world. And there is just wickedness everywhere you look. But I want you to know you can get into the Bible, the Word of God, and I can guarantee you who wins. You know why? Because prophecy of the Word of God. I've read the last page. Have you ever read the last page? Amen. I'm always teasing my wife. She likes to read books, and so I'll say, honey, let me read the last page for you. And she'll say, no, no, you know. And she don't want me to read the last page and tell her what's happened, you know. But I read the Bible backwards, see. I like the ending better than all this other stuff, you see. But I know what's going to happen. Amen. And God has promised that. Why? To encourage his people. As darkness comes, as troubles come, heartaches come, God shows us throughout his word what the end's going to be. And that ought to be enough to encourage us. That's why over in Thessalonians, where he told us about the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, and he says, therefore comfort one another with these words. He was giving us prophecy that Jesus was coming again. And he says, now comfort one another with these words. So I say to you, prophecy in the Bible is certainly one of the reasons is designed to give God's people peace and comfort that'll help us. Okay? Now, prophecy also, and I might say to you, probably prophecy, what I'm going to say at this point, probably is the one of the main major reasons that God put prophecy in the Bible for us. It's designed to help God's people live holy lives. I'm going to take God's word, I'm going to show you that. God has designed it. Prophecy is designed to help us live holy lives. Okay? If you did not think that Jesus was coming today or next week or next year or 50 years from now, it would have a profound effect upon the way we live. But the expectancy of the coming of Jesus Christ is there constantly reminding us he could come today. And how do I want him to find me? Amen. How do I want him to find me? I want to take you to some of the Word of God over in the book of Philippians, third chapter. Third chapter, verse number 10 of Philippians. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul is simply saying, I have not arrived at everything I ought to be, but God has appertained me or apprehended me. He wants me to be what I should be. That is the focus of my life, Paul was saying. Paul was saying, my whole life is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ. That's the focus. That's the goal of my life. Okay? Now he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, in verse 13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, listen, let us therefore, now after he said all of those things, let us therefore looking back at what he had just said, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as if ye have us for an example. For many walk, and whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Listen to this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul was saying, look, the reason that I want to know Jesus, the reason I want my life to be clean, is that Jesus is coming. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him. And I want my life to be clean when he comes. And folks, listen, prophecy in the Word of God explaining to us that Jesus is coming, and many other things in the Word of God that tells us about the future, is designed to help us keep our lives clean. Now let me show you some more scripture over in Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 1, starting. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where God sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Did you notice? He once again brings us to the subject that Jesus is coming. He's going to appear. And right before that, what did he tell us to do? Set our affections on things above, not on things on earth. Why? Jesus is going to appear. Jesus is coming. Look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse number 12. I'm not going to read all those. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Why? Why? Because Jesus is soon to come. And he's going to appear. And he says, he's saying to us, keep your life clean. Live a life in such a way as it would be pleasing to God when Jesus comes. Amen? That's why God put so much in the Word of God about the coming of his Son, to remind us on a daily basis that Jesus Christ is coming. Now, look at the book of Titus, please. Second chapter. Verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now the grace of God, he says, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And what has it done? In verse number 12, he said he is teaching us. God's grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is our duty to live righteous lives, God is saying. We ought to live lives that don't desire lust, he says, and ungodliness. We ought to deny those things. Why is he telling us we should do that? Well, in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, once again, and you'll find many, many places in the Scriptures where it talks about the coming of Jesus, coming again, you'll always find it associated with clean living. God is telling us that the grace of God teaches us we ought to deny these things. Why? Because we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? If you look for Jesus on a daily basis, I'll guarantee you something, it'll help your life be more pure. Amen? And that's one of the reasons God has given us prophecy, so that we'll keep clean living. Look over in Second Peter, please. The third chapter, Second Peter. Third chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now let's just stop there just for a moment. That's quite a verse of Scripture. God says it'll come in a thief in the night, and God even says that the earth is going to be melted. There's coming a time when this earth, God is going to set on fire and going to melt even the elements around the earth. He's going to destroy it all. Okay? Now, there again, what's he trying to do to us? He's trying to put us, get things put in perspective. If all of this is going to melt and going to be destroyed, why in the world are we so holden to it? Why is it so important to us? It's going to be destroyed. Right? And listen to what he says in the next verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And listen. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, when Jesus comes, where will we be found? Without spot and blameless. Why is it we hold and love this old world so much when it's going to just be destroyed? And God says, look, we're hastening unto that day of the Lord. We're looking for Jesus Christ to come, that day when he will come. Why do we have such a hold on this earth? Why does the things of this earth mean so much to us? He said the main thing that we need to do is to find ourselves without spot and blameless. That's more important than how much you've got. What you are is much more important than what you have. Amen? That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. You understand? And it all comes down to prophecy. God is teaching us these things. He's saying, look, that day's going to come. Don't you understand that day's going to come? And if so, what manner of people ought we to be? You see, we ought to be without spot, blameless. And that ought to be a reminder constantly, constantly reminding us we ought to live pure. We ought to live clean. You ladies, I'm sure, will associate with this. When you've got company coming, I have a feeling you're like my wife. She just hustles and bustles around, gets everything straightened up, you know, and just makes sure everything's just right in its right place, you know, and looks pretty, you know. She's got somebody coming for dinner. She sets out and puts a nice tablecloth on the table, you know, and sets the plates and gets out her silverware. I mean, you know, gets out her better one and gets out her best plates and her glasses, and she sets those things and makes sure everything is just in place. Any of you ever do that? Huh? Why? You got somebody special coming. And you just want it to look nice. Amen? Now, why does God want us to be clean and pure? Because someone special is coming. Amen. And we want to be ready for him. Amen. That's what he's trying to teach us. And through prophecy, as we see these wonderful things that God has penned in his word that's going to happen, folks, it's not there for our curiosity. It's there so that we'll understand that the Bible is God's word. It reveals unto us the plan of God. It gives the brethren peace. And also it keeps our living like it ought to be, pure and clean. Amen? Why? Because someone very, very special is going to show up one of these days. And he's going to take us home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your marvelous grace, your goodness. Thank you for the promises of the coming of thy Son. And I ask you, Lord, help us to be reminded daily that we ought to live clean, for our blessed Savior is coming soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.